Amen. Thanks for the Calvin. Ephesians chapter number 5 in the New Testament of your scripture this morning. Ephesians chapter number 5. And Calvin and Becky, good to have you back here today. And good to see folks back that maybe were out of town or were ill. And good to have guests here today. And we have some that are ill or out of town today. So let's be in prayer for them as well. Ephesians chapter number 5 in the New Testament of your scripture. We began a brand new series last week entitled Two Committed, Experiencing and Enjoying Marriage God's Way. And sometimes people don't think of marriage and enjoyment in the same context, but we do, and we certainly want our marriages to reflect that. And I believe that God would desire that and certainly would instruct that from His Word. Last week, we looked at Ephesians 5:33, and we really did our best to kind of dig deep and understand that verse and lay a foundation that then we could build upon for the next several weeks as we journey through this series. And let's visit back to that verse, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 33, where the Bible says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And last week we looked at understanding God's way and really understanding how God desires for the husband to love his wife. God commands us to do that. And then the wife, see that she reverence her husband. And the needs are different there. The wife needs to be loved. The husband needs to be reverenced. And it's not saying that the husband doesn't need to be loved. He just doesn't need to be loved on the same plane as his wife does. And it's certainly not saying that a wife doesn't need to be reverenced or respected, but that's not as big of a need for her as it is for him. So God articulates what the needs are, who it is that is to fulfill that need, and the responsibility that we have to do it. Now, in the weeks ahead, we're going to discover as husbands how to love and as wives how to reverence. But we're going to spend the next week or two kind of establishing still our foundation in understanding God's way, and today moving on to the attention or the subject matter of communication and talking about committed communication. And here's why. If we cannot communicate, then we cannot grow. In our marriage relationship, there has to be love, there has to be reverence, there has to be a teamwork effort between the husband and the wife. But if we're not communicating, If we're not able to discuss what it is we need to adjust in our relationship, then we're not going to be able to implement what we're learning. And so kind of still in these foundational weeks, we're going to spend this time probably today and next Sunday on this subject of committed communication. And just to kind of set our background, if you will, just kind of sit back and relax and let me tell you an illustrative story. There was a couple, much like Daniel and Jennifer this Friday, who were preparing to celebrate their 10th wedding anniversary, and she was kind of coming into the event a little hesitant, a little perplexed, and the reason for that was because he often forgot stuff like this: her birthday, their wedding anniversary, you know, the special occasions of their relationship. He often would let them slip by and then would have to apologize, and you know, and which it's good that Daniel's here this morning so he doesn't forget about Friday. But this particular guy didn't go to an adult Bible class like this, and he didn't have bulletins and reminders and mugs and all that. So he usually was behind the eight ball. He usually was forgetting and usually not doing very well. Well, this particular occasion, their 10th wedding anniversary, he remembered. He was so proud of himself. He remembered. And man, he went to work that day just kind of, you know, feeling good and got a pep in his step. But he remembered their wedding anniversary. And after work, he went to the local Walgreens and he went down the Hallmark aisle. And he was a little overwhelmed with the options that there are. And if you've ever been card shopping, especially for guys, it's overwhelming. Why can't they just have one for birthday and one for anniversary? It would make life simple. I would enjoy that. But that's not what they have. They have racks and racks and racks and racks and racks of cards. And so he's perusing them and trying to get the right one. And he sees a nice, colorful card that he thinks his wife will enjoy. He opens it up. He skims the word. It looks nice. He says, "That's it." He goes to the clerk. He checks out. He goes home. The drive home, he's so excited. He remembered their wedding anniversary. He's purchased a card. He's going to just delight his wife with this remembrance. It's going to be a wonderful evening as they celebrate. And so he gets home, and she's in the kitchen, and so he kind of sneaks around. He gets into a side room, and he signs his name to the bottom of the card. And, you know, guys don't write a lot in cards. That's why they put the print in there for us. So he just kind of signed the bottom of the card, you know, and he put it in the envelope, and he sealed the envelope, and he wrote her name on the envelope. And then he went the extra mile, and he wrote a couple hearts by her name there on the envelope. And really special attention here for this 10th wedding anniversary. And he kind of polished himself up and went to the kitchen where she was, and he said, "Honey, happy anniversary." And he handed her that card. And she was just shocked, quite frankly. They remembered that he got a card and that he had done all these things. And she was so happy. And her smile was just beaming. Her countenance was glowing. I mean, her excitement was radiating. And she opened that card and she appreciated the hearts by her name and the beautiful outside. And she opened it up and she was enjoying the content of the message. And then all of a sudden, her countenance changed. The smile went to a frown, and the excitement went to kind of frustration, and something happened, and it was noticeable, and he caught it, and he said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she said, "Nothing." Now, for most guys, that's enough. We ask. She said, "It's nothing. We'll move on," you know. But he could tell something indeed was wrong. I mean, her countenance had changed, and the glow had definitely dampened a bit, and she was no longer excited about the card. And so he persisted. He said, no, honey, I can tell something's wrong. Please tell me what's wrong." She said, no, it's fine. I appreciate the card. I appreciate the effort. This is great. And he said, "Honey, I can tell something's wrong. What's wrong?" And she said, "Honey, it's a nice card for a birthday." And he had blown it, and he could not believe he had blown it. I mean, here he had perused, you know, all kinds of cards, and he somehow picked up the wrong one and put his name on the wrong one and gave her the wrong one, and he tried to apologize, and she just was so frustrated with him. He always forgot, and here's their 10th wedding anniversary, and he gets her a card, and he doesn't even get her the right card. He wishes her a happy birthday on their wedding anniversary, and she's frustrated with him, and he's kind of frustrated with her. And then, you know, the ensuing arguments and the frustrations and maybe bringing up some of the things of the past, and all of a sudden they're kind of in the midst of World War III. And she's angry, and she's letting him know about his carelessness and really how she just feels deprived of love. Well, as he hears that and her critical tone and her complaints about him, then he begins to distance himself and to take away that love. And all of a sudden, you have kind of this stalemate going on. When it's supposed to be a time of celebration, this is what's happening. And sometimes that's what happens in relationships. And sometimes we get into situations or seasons where there's a problem, but we don't know how to fix it. It's kind of like if we walked into a room and we flipped on the switch and the lights did not come on. Now, we might flip the switch off and then flip it on again to see if maybe it would come back on. We might try it a third time, and I think after three tries, we would figure out, okay, well, the light bulb is out, or maybe the switch is malfunctioning, or maybe the breaker has been tripped, or there's some problem here. We need to detect what's wrong so we can fix it to illuminate this room. I think all of us would find it odd if we saw someone walk into a room and they took their hand and they flipped the switch and no lights came on. They flipped it back off. They flipped the switch on again. No lights came on. They flipped it back off. They flipped it on a third time. No lights came on. They flipped it off. And they persisted to do that continually for 30 minutes. Now, I think all of us will go to that person and say they need to be checked in. I mean, there's a problem. They have an issue. I mean, they're crazy. You know, what are they doing? The switch isn't going to fix the problem. But you know what? Sometimes in marriage, we have a problem, but we just flip the same switch. And we know it's not going to fix it. We know it's not really going to make it better. We know it's not going to solve the totality of the problem, but we just continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. And sometimes it's because we don't know what to do. Sometimes it's because we don't know how to do it. And today and next Sunday, we want to lay this groundwork of how can we engage in committed communication as husband and wife so that as we learn to grow in love and grow in reverence and strengthening our relationship, that we can implement what we learn because we can discuss it and work together as a team. And so how can we communicate better? And let's study this passage and this lesson together. First of all, I want us to see this morning the difficulty with communication. the difficulty with communication. Now, why is communication such a difficult thing amongst couples? And as you read about the marriage relationship and couples being surveyed and those types of things, communication is always at the top of the list. It's always in the top five of maybe things that are wrong or things that could be better, or, you know, what could he do better, communicate, what could she do better, whatever. It's always near the top of things that could be improved in any relationship. And there's a reason for that when it comes to husbands and wives, and there are some reasons for the difficulty. And we want to study those so that we can overcome them. And I want us to see the first difficulty, the first problem which makes communication difficult in the marriage relationship is this. Letter A, because we communicate in code. Because we communicate in code. And this is when someone is saying something and we're hearing something totally different. Guys, has your wife ever said something to you and then you did something and then she's like, what are you doing that for? Well, because you just said that. That's not what I said. Yeah, you just, no, that's not what I said at all. Okay, honey, could you say it again? You know, because we communicate in code. Sometimes we're communicating, but we don't understand what's being communicated. What do I mean? Let me give you an example and just kind of sit there and relax for a moment. Fellas, when she says, I have nothing to wear, what she means is, I have nothing new. Okay? Now, when he says, I have nothing to wear, what he means is, I have nothing clean. Okay? So, when I have nothing to wear for her, we need something new. When I have nothing to wear for him, we're at the bottom of the drawer, all right? We need to empty out the hamper and get some laundry going. He is out of clothes to wear. It's amazing how the simplest of misunderstandings can lead to full-blown arguments or discussions or whatever in the marital relationship or in the relationship between the husband and the wife. And it's because at times we communicate in code. We're saying something, but it's not being transmitted exactly right. And sometimes it's not a bad idea in this relationship to say, honey, now this is what I'm hearing you saying. And guys, do that, you know, with a little bit of caution, because at times she's going to say, what are you talking about? Are you listening to somebody else? I mean, I've just been communicating this to you, and you're way over there. And sometimes maybe we are, and we need to say, honey, this is what I'm hearing you saying. Is that right? Or this is what I think you want me to do. Is that right? And we want to seek clarification, because sometimes we do communicate in code. And thank God we don't communicate the same. How boring would marriage be if the man and the woman communicated the same? It would be a very boring relationship. That's why the Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. You are in the lesson of marriage, and you don't graduate till you die. So it's the way it works. And you've got to learn to communicate one with another, because at times you'll communicate in code. So why can communication be difficult in the marriage relationship? Because we communicate in code. We need to ask each other questions to make sure we're understanding what each other is saying. Secondly, sometimes we struggle with communication because we communicate critically. Because we communicate critically. When we don't understand what's being said, when we're not comprehending the content of the message, at times we can get frustrated by it, and it shows. Sometimes it shows in our tone of voice. Those that have children, maybe you've taught them the lesson of the inside voice and the outside voice. And sometimes Junior is thinking, why are Mommy and Daddy using their outside voices inside? We're supposed to use our inside voices inside. And sometimes this critical communication, this frustration that we're feeling, can pour into our tone of voice. And the voice fluctuates, the tone fluctuates, and the volume is higher and louder. And we need to be careful that, hey, when we're feeling frustrated, when we feel like we're not connecting, we don't want to get critical in the tone of voice and in a shouting or yelling match. That's not honorable to the Lord. That's not a sign of a healthy home, and certainly not of our relationship. So in the tone of voice. Also, it can be expressed in our facial expression. Now, if you've been married any length of time, fellas, you know your wife doesn't have to say a word. She just has to give you the look. And you know exactly what that look means. Now, none of us may catch it. We may be eating our bagel and going to class and having a great time. We may not know what's going on, but you do. and you're holding your Bible and you're singing songs and you're enjoying the lesson and you're going to go to church and all that, but you know when you get in the car what's going to happen, because you know that look. You have received the look. And you know by nothing but the facial expression, hey, something's wrong, something's not right, someone's frustrated for some reason, and we're gonna figure it out as we go. It can be carried out in our facial expression. It can be carried out in our body language. Sometimes you can enter into people's presence and you can just feel the tension. I mean, you could cut through it with a knife if you could see it. I mean, it's just thick. It's just there. And there's just frustration that has been built up, and it's leading to some critical communication. Now, this is a big problem because it is a preventer of the kind of communication we need. But ladies, give me about 5 minutes and let me come in to your life on a desire to help level and just give me an ear. Because critical communication is a problem, but it's a problem that many wives do not understand and are immensely frustrated by. So for every wife in this room who desires better communication in your relationship, just hang in there and listen to me. And I want to make sure you understand something, because it really is a very simple but a very profound truth that will help in your relationship. There's, if you polled most husbands, how's the communication relationship?
Great.
Awesome. Incredible. I mean, we talked last week. It was awesome. If you polled most wives about the communication relationship, how is it? Probably, you know, some might say it's just flat out terrible, but probably most would say room for improvement. Could be better. Wish we talked more. Wish we whatever. And it's just, that's usually the way it is. This is not an area the guy sees as critically as she does in the sense of where it needs to go. But there's a reason for that. Because there's grown a disinterest in his heart in this area, and there's a reason for it. Oftentimes, that is overseen by the wife. And I want to point it out today, and I want to ask you just to kind of go with me here for a few minutes. Now, we've already learned in Ephesians 5 that God commands the husband to love and the wife to reverence. 4 times in Ephesians 5, God commands the husband to love his wife. And the idea in Ephesians 5 that we learned was the husband is to love, and the wife is really already made to love. She's an unconditional lover. She loves her husband. She loves her children. I mean, it doesn't matter what happens, how they disappoint her. Her love is going to be with them for their entire life. And that's just the way God made her. But notice in your notes in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4, the Bible says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, they is speaking of the older women. We don't have any in this room. So they, the older women, are teaching the younger women, that's the ladies in this room, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, this is not the same word love as in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 is agape love. It's giving ourselves for our spouse. God's commanding us as husbands in that regard. But here in Titus, God is saying to the older women, teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. You say, no, but Gabe, I thought women didn't need to be told that because they were made to love. They're just natural, unconditional lovers. I mean, they just love. It's who they are by nature, and that is true. But the word love here in Titus is not agape. It's the Greek word phileo, which is the brotherly kind of love. The point is, wives, ladies, you are created to agape love, to unconditionally love people, but God reminds you in Scripture to phileo love, to be kind. God says, listen, ladies, you by nature are loving, but at times you need to be reminded just to be kind. Now, not all ladies suffer from this, but some ladies do admit to having just slight moments of negativity with maybe their husband or their children. In fact, these have been known and scientifically classified as PMS, which stands for the pre-murder syndrome. And when this is happening in the home, the husband and children, they just kind of run for cover. You know, they're just kind of looking for a way out, if you will. And no one at that time is doubting whether or not mom or wife loves them. But what they're thinking in their mind is, does she even like me? Now, ladies, listen to me. I'm having some fun, but listen to me. ladies, as a rule, have learned to fight with words. You're masters at it. In most relationships, the wife could take the woodsman to the woodshed in a verbal argument because you're good at it. By nature, you're better. Some of you have husbands that maybe could do that, and that's irrelevant to the point. But wives as a whole have learned to fight with words. They're masters. They're arts of it, if you will, and they're much better at it than their husbands. But the problem is when there's frustration because there's maybe communication in code or something's not being understood, and all of a sudden that communication then goes into the critical area where now she's being critical and he's being critical, and she begins to be critical of him and maybe his shortcomings and his failures and even bringing up things from the past. Ladies, there's something you need to understand that happens at that moment in your communication, in your conversation with your husband. Because when a man hears criticism, it doesn't take him long to interpret that as contempt. Now, let me give you a definition for contempt. Contempt is an attitude of utter disgust or hatred. So, ladies, I just want to paint a picture for you, and we've had some fun. I hope you'll give me a little bit of leeway to kind of stress this to you. When conversations get critical, where you are being critical of your husband, and I know you're doing it so that he knows his shortcomings, so that he can see where improvement is needed, because you're frustrated with him in the first place, which completely justifies and rationalizes why you're saying this, but I just want to teach and forewarn and communicate and tell you that when this criticism is being given, for him, it comes across as contempt, as you disgust him, even to the point where you hate him for who he is, for what he has done. Now, when he begins to feel this way, then he responds with saying things that he should not say. And then you've got World War III, you've got a screaming match going on, if you will. And you've got a problem. And as we study critical communication, it's imperative for every lady to understand that when you get critical, it's coming across as contempt. Now, I have taught, and we will continue to teach and equip in this class, that there needs to be an area where stuff can be brought up and stuff can be worked out in the relationship. I'm not saying put stuff under the rug and never bring it up. I'm not saying your husband's perfect and treat him that way. No. What I'm saying is, yes, there needs to be an environment where you can work stuff out in your relationship and you can bring stuff up and you can constructively criticize the relationship and see where needs are. But when there's a discussion happening or where there's a misunderstanding happening or whatever, sometimes some ladies very quickly turn to just being critical. And I'm just telling you right now, he's interpreting that as contempt, that you're just disgusted with who he is as a person. And quite frankly, he doesn't have any interest in working something out with you in that state. Now, oftentimes, a lady will feel that she has to do this because she's feeling very unloved. And guys, it often does come back to us, and the responsibility is on our shoulders. But here's what happens. He begins to feel contempt, and so maybe there's a bit of a discussion, but then it doesn't take long to where he just walks away. Guys don't like, by nature, to kind of get into a big thing. And so oftentimes they'll distance themselves and kind of let it cool off. And then, guys, something like this will happen. Something will happen. There's misunderstanding. There's frustration. Maybe she says some things, and then you leave for a while. And in your mind, you're cooling off. You're sorting your thoughts. You're kind of penning this all out. You're coming back a better man to be able to kind of work this out and offer your resolution. You come back into her presence, and she's more upset than she's ever been. And you're thinking, okay, well, what happened? I wasn't here, so is she upset with me? I didn't say anything else, so it can't be my fault. I mean, did something else happen? Why is she more upset now than she was when I was here, when I've been gone this whole time? What could I have done without being in her presence? And guys, here's what it is. A lady interprets silence as hostility. So a man interprets criticism as contempt, and a lady interprets silence as hostility. Guys, when you and I think, hey, we just need some time, and we go and we think it through or we do whatever, that silence to her is being interpreted as hostility if it's not being explained. Now, the two of you may agree, hey, let's take 5 minutes and let's think this thing through and let's come back and work this thing out in a way that would honor and please the Lord. But when we're not communicating and we're just storming out of a room or we're storming out of the house or we're blowing off some steam or whatever, and then we come back and we're kind of scratching our head as to why she's so upset. We haven't even been here. The reason she is because you left. It's kind of like when there's something wrong and you just sit there. And her blood is curdling. I mean, if she could smack you, she would just smack you. Because something's wrong and you just sit there. Something's wrong and you don't say a thing. Brother Gabe, it sounds like you know what you're talking about here. Hey, sometimes I can be a jerk. And there's no doubt times in our relationship where I've needed to speak, needed to take the lead, needed to do something, and I haven't to the detriment. But I've learned that silence communicates hostility. So her criticism is contempt. My silence is hostility. Now, let me wrap this up. Let her see. Where are we having difficulty? Because we communicate covertly. Because we communicate covertly. When you're in this disagreement because there was a misunderstanding, maybe because of the code, then when we've led into being critical or now he's feeling contempt and she's feeling hostility because of all of this, and sometimes we're upset and now we're so upset that the degree to which we are upset is so much greater than what the original issue was, sometimes we forgot what the original issue was because we've just allowed so much other stuff to be brought into it. And God does teach us to dwell together according to knowledge and that there are going to be things you've got to work through as husband and wife. Jim Benny in your notes said, the tendency is to devote our efforts to getting our mate to come to where we live rather than going to where he or she is. In fact, many marriages deteriorate into a scratching, clawing effort to get the other mate to understand me. We are naturally more conscious of our own needs and sensitive to them than we are to those of our mate. And here's what I want to wrap up this portion, and we'll get into how to communicate better next week. But here's what I want to wrap up with. When there's code, when we're not understanding what's being said, we have a fleshly tendency to get critical. When we allow things to get critical, maybe she says something critical about him, he's feeling contempt, he says something critical, maybe he leaves, now there's hostility, now you've got a problem. I want to teach you something. There's a covert message being sent. And husbands, we all have to embrace this. When my wife is being critical, she's covertly saying, I need your love. Now, in our hearts, we may look at the situation and say, that's the last thing I want to love. But Jesus Christ loved me when I didn't deserve love. And when my wife is being critical, and by the way, most of us can step back and look at the big picture and say, well, I know why she's being critical. I made a mistake. I said this. I shouldn't have done that. Many of us can own some responsibility. But we certainly can look at the situation and say, hey, when she's being critical, she's saying, I need your love. And if I'm going to be a godly husband, then I need to go love, even when there's criticism. And wives, when he's being critical or he's being silent, he's communicating, I need your respect. I need your reverence. I've pulled away for a reason. And if we today will understand, we want to learn, we want to enhance our relationships, but we have to communicate. And when we don't understand or there's a rift or there's a strife or something, we have to pull back and say, hey, we're not going to get critical. We're not going to get into some kind of an argument or shouting mouth or something of this nature. We're going to learn how to communicate in our relationship. It's one of the greatest things you'll ever strengthen. And ladies, you could say, I'm not going to criticize. I'm just going to make a decision. I'm not going to criticize. That doesn't mean we're not going to have constructive seasons of where can we improve our relationship. But just as a whole, I'm making a decision this morning. I'm not going to criticize. When stuff's not going right, I'm not going to say, well, you are. I'm just not going to do it. And guys, you could make a decision like, you know what? When there's a season of we're trying to do some understanding and some understanding one another, I'm not going to get silent. I know it frustrates my wife when we both sense something's wrong, and I just sit there. I don't say anything. I don't add to. Honey, how are you doing? Fine. How do you think things are? Fine. What do you think we should improve? Nothing. You know, it's just, it's frustrating. So I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to be silent. I'm going to engage. I'm going to help. I'm going to participate. I'm going to be involved in this thing. And then in the seasons where we get away from the spirit and we are in the flesh, and she's being critical, I'm going to do my best to love. And wives, you might say, and when he gets critical or he gets silent, I'm going to do my best to reverence. And we're going to find a covert message in this mess. And we're going to meet each other's needs. And we're going to learn to communicate. And next week, we'll study some practical how to communicate steps. I hope you'll be here and encourage others as well. But this is going to help us develop a foundation. So as we learn to be too committed and experiencing and enjoying marriage God's way, we can implement what it is that we learned. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the time together this morning. Lord, help us to strive to communicate as we should. Lord, may our communication in our homes and in our lives and our relationship bring you honor and glory. Help us to strengthen that area even this week. And then bring us back next week, Lord, as we strive to learn how can we practically improve in this area. Lord, we'll sure praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.